Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Hi, that was really good, Pastor Sue. I was like the peanut gallery over there. And, you know, Dan is the one that gets up later than I do, and I'm the one up in the morning. And every time I come back upstairs, because I go down, make sure the kids are all put together and everybody has breakfast, we've had our devotional, then I go back upstairs, and his side of the bed is perfectly made. And mine is never perfectly made. And I'm just going to start making it with him in it. I've just come to that term. So, very good. I usually am an organized person, and then I started working. And now, thank you. I have a reboot now. I'm more motivated. So how are you, girls? Did you enjoy that? Very good, Pastor Sue. So good. So we're going to talk about atmosphere of our home. So now, I believe that the organizational piece of the home actually does create the atmosphere of the home. When she was talking about Pastor Mike being irritated, Dan is the same way. My husband is the same way. I can tell, like, you know, he never really cared much when we first got married, but now that we've been married for 15 years, I notice that because I have allowed things to be organized at home, he's a little bit like, why are things out of order around here? You know, he just doesn't do well with it. And so I have trained him well. So, and you say, you know, that he doesn't know where to put his stuff. He has actually been telling me lately, where do your shoes go? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. We moved into this new house, and it's just a different routine, and I'm really learning to get my groove. So give yourself a breather, get yourself in your routine, and begin to make a new atmosphere wherever you are. Now, you might say, I've lived in the same house forever. My family, you know, they are in their own groove. I'm the only saved person in my home. I don't know what your situation is. You might be single. You might be married. You might be, you know, grandma. You might be in a new season in your life. These applications will apply to every single one of us as women of God, because I believe we are the Proverbs 31 woman. So I love that Pastor Deborah actually talked about it, because we're going to read about it. Turn with me to Proverbs 31:10. And we're going to read about who you are. You're going to listen to this and be like, what? That is not who I feel like I am. And at times you will fail in these. But listen, my favorite person that just, somebody spoke into my life, and I was really trying to lose weight. After Micah was born, I had gained like 80 pounds. That child did come out 10 pounds, 4 ounces. So, but I still had to lose weight after that. And I remember I was getting very discouraged, and she said to me, if you have a day that you fail, just the next day, get back up and start over again. Do not beat yourself up for the day before. And it so motivated me, because I was like, okay, because then you know how you kind of get hard on yourself and you never continue on. And that just helped me. Well, it's the same thing with your walk with the Lord. It's the same thing in your organization. If you can apply that principle to your life and not beat yourself up for the things that you weren't perfect at, or maybe you felt like you failed in, I believe that this Proverbs 31 woman had those bad days, but she also picked herself back up, and it's what she did with them. Okay, so Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Her heart and her husband safely trust her, so he will have no lack or of gain. That's amazing to me. She is the reason he doesn't have lack of gain. You know why? Because she's keeping her home in order. Because when he comes home, he can do what he needs to do. You go, that is so old school, Pastor Jess. That is not the generation we are living in. Listen, you and I are amazing women, and we can do a lot of cool things, but we can do it in an organizational way to where I believe that the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom on how to do both, because we can multitask. Do you notice the men do not multitask, but we do? So she is the lack of his gain. She will not bring him lack of gain. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil in all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. I love that. So that just means she goes shopping. So you totally have the freedom to shop. Okay. Verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night. Some of you are the late sleepers like Pastor Sue, so you are still up at night. So I just believe that that just works either way, okay? I am the early morning person, so I get this one. And provides food for her household and a portion for her husband and for her maidservants. If you do have help, let's say you work and you have someone that comes and helps you clean your house or whatever it may be, you still have to. You know, my mom, when she worked, she would say, okay, kids, get up. The maid's coming. You need to clean up the house. And we were like, what? I never understood that. So I had to hire some help because now I'm working like crazy hours, right? And so I'm now telling my children the same. You better pick up because she has not been hired to pick up. I only pay her for this much amount of time. And you do your, you see, we still take care of the people in our world because we care about the people that come into our home. It doesn't matter who they are, whether that is your children, family members, guests, people that help you take care of your home, whatever the case may be, that is your domain. That's your space. And so this woman takes care of them as well. I love that. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. I just want to say she works out. You know what? Because she knows she's got a lot on her plate. And so she's going to keep herself healthy. And I do believe that's a whole nother message for itself, because what we put in our bodies is what will be produced out of our energy level and everything else. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the staff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. Let me go back to verse 23. You say, I'm not married. I don't have that husband. Or my husband is a drunk, and you don't know that he's not sitting at no gates, and he's not an elder. What do I do then, Pastor Jess? Listen. You are the bride of Christ. Your husband is beyond the earthly husband. You have a heavenly husband who is like guarding you and protecting you and who rules this world and who rules your heart and your lives. And so you know what? You make him look good because you represent him. So whether you have that earthly husband, you might be single in this room, you represent Jesus. And people are watching how you carry yourself and what you do on behalf, because what everything you do represents him. So this applies to you as well. That was just for free. Okay, 25, verse 25, strength and honor. Ooh, hello. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Sometimes I have a little bracelet that says strength and honor are her clothing. And when I'm nervous and I'm about to go do something that I'm not like comfortable with, and maybe God's asked me to step out of my box, I wear that bracelet. You guys might have seen it. It's like a really thick band and it has like a metal plate. Find yourself something that has scripture on it, whether it's a shirt. You know, I put those signs around my house because my husband hates them. He's like, why do we need words around our house? It actually speaks to my heart. It reminds me, you know, I have over our bed like love, laugh, smile. I need that sometimes. Sometimes I'm not happy with Dan. And I'm like, I need to love him. I need to smile. You know what? Do what you need to do. I have one that says prayer. And I used to put it over my door in my closet. And I'm going to get another one because I've just moved it to my office here. But I'm going to get one for my closet because it reminds me. When I walk into my closet, be in prayer today, Jess. This is your space. You know, whatever you've got to do, put those things. You know, the Israelites used to write it on their foreheads. They would never forget what God did for them. Let's not forget. She never forgot. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Listen, you mamas with those teenagers, you cannot just be like, oh, you're on your phone. That you have to be awake and aware and attentive to what is going on, because there are things out there and the enemy is using every way he can to get into their little hearts. And so you cannot be idle and just assume that they're not doing something because maybe you've talked to them about it once. They don't look for it. It looks for them. So that's why you've got to be on your game. When my kids have friends over, guess what? I'm like stalker parent. I like actually have a baby monitor. They don't know this, so do not tell them. And if your children are coming over, I'm checking them out. Because I put that baby monitor in there. I listen to their conversations while I'm in the kitchen. I do. I listen to them while I'm in my room. I give them a little space, or I'll be around the corner and just like, what kind of attitude's going on in there? You see, because I'm not going to let my kids get away with something if they think that mom's not listening, or maybe the friend thinks your mom's not listening and nobody's around. You know what? No, I'm like the helicopter mom, okay? So be the helicopter mom. Do not be idle with those things and just assume they'll fall into place, because they don't. Verse 29, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise him in the gates. I love that. Listen, I don't know what the tone of your home is like, but you have the ability and the drive, and you will have the knowledge after today to make an atmosphere so beautiful in your home. Now, we could talk about atmosphere like this, right? If you light a candle, you say, Pastor Jess, you always talk about a candle. I'm telling you, if you light a candle, watch. This whole room is going to smell because this one's amazing, okay? I put this on in the office, and every man walking down the office is like, oh, you put your candle on today. Like, they actually like it. Light a candle in your home sometimes, and that will create a cozy atmosphere for your family. If there's a certain scent, do you ever, like, my grandma used to wear a certain perfume, and every time I like, hug somebody with that perfume on, I'm like, oh, Nana. Like, it brings you back. Smells will bring you, that's a simple, practical way of making an atmosphere in your home. And so, but I wanted to talk about the spiritual side of things because I have little kids in my home, and I have a husband in my home. We are under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things coming at us at time. And, you know, our home is our safety place. Our home is, like, that place where you can come and go, oh. Now, if you come home and you're like, I do not want to go home, it is chaos. There's like a whole bunch of junk going on in that house and I hate going home. Listen, today's your day that it's going to change, okay? Because you have the ability as the woman in the house. You are the keeper of your home. You are the one that sets the atmosphere. Have you heard the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? That is so true. I mean, I could tell you there are days when I am crabby and I see my children like scatter like ants far away from me as far as they could go. And I'm like, where is everybody? Why do you not want to hang out with me? And then I realize, oh, I'm a little crabby, you know? So we do have the ability to set the atmosphere and set the tone in our home. And I believe that you will fail at this. I'm just letting you know you will have a pass card on this, but you better check yourself, oh, daughter of God, and say, I've got to change. Because if I do this, they're going to do this. If I say it like that, they're going to say it like that. And so let's look into some things. I believe that God wants us to be the diffusers of chaos in our homes, not the cause of chaos. You know, sometimes we pick fights. Sometimes you need to not pick fights with your husband. You know, pick your battles. Have you heard that saying? There are times, like Pastor Sue, that Dan does not put things away. And if I leave for something at church and he's with the children, I just have learned after 15 years that my house is going to be thrashed when I get home. And it does not matter how much I clean it before I leave. It will look like thrashed when I get home. And do you know what I've had to learn to tell myself? That's okay, because they had fun with their dad. They got to connect with their dad. They got fed, probably pizza, because he loves pizza, and they always eat it when I'm not around. And I'm okay with that now. It used to ask my mom, I would call her, and I'd be like so irritated, Jess, at least he's a good dad. And, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah. So count your blessings. I could cause a chaos in that moment. I could cause a fight in that moment. I could make that moment a horrible place and an environment for my kids. They just got off this great time with dad, and now all of a sudden mom's home, and she's mad, and you're going to look like the bad guy. And so take a deep breath. Say, did you guys have fun? Did you guys enjoy yourselves? Okay, I'm going to get into my spot. I'm going to pick up and we're going to get things back in order around here. And just do it. Don't complain about it. When you complain about it, it doesn't help anybody. It actually makes that atmosphere so tense that you can cut it with a knife. Have you ever done that? And you're like, ooh, what's happening in here? You know, you don't want to be that. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I'll say daughters of God. I want to be God's daughter and I want to be the peacemaker. I don't want to be the chaos creator. Okay. Ephesians 4:1-3 in the voice, which I thought it's like a paraphrase like the Bible, but I loved what they said. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you, live a life that is worthy of your calling. He has graciously extended this to you. Be humble, be gentle, and be patient. Patient is a good one for us girls. Because I don't know about you, but something can set you off. And all of a sudden, the tone of your home is like, mom's mad, or I don't want to bring that up. Oh, I'm going to mess up. And they're going to feel like failures around you. And you need your home and the people that walk into your home to feel safe around you. And all of a sudden, they're going to stop talking to you about things. You're going to wonder, why are they not talking to me about these things? Why are they not bringing these things to me? And, you know, the Lord had to deal with me on that because I was just like, come back. And he would tell me, would you just be quiet and listen? Would you just listen and be patient? You don't have to respond to what Chloe's saying right now. You don't have to respond to what Dan is saying right now. And I had to learn how to be patient. I don't always do this well, but I get back up the next day and do it better the next day. Verse 2, tolerate one another. I love this. In a atmosphere of thick love. I want thick love in my home. I want it to just be like so full of it that, you know, that it's just so peaceful. I'll tell you something. My mom was the best mom. And she did set quite an atmosphere. We would be in the ghettoest of apartments and I never knew. Because she made it beautiful and because she would always have an atmosphere, whether it was candles or whether it was, and then it was just her love towards us. You see how you say things, how we respond to our family. You know, I understand you have to be drill sergeant at times, absolutely. But then make yourself stop being in that mode and sit down and play a game with your kids. That's you getting outside of yourself. That's you getting off your task. And that's you showing love, a thick love. And you know, the other day, my son, I'll tell you a funny story. I have three kids, and my youngest is like the comedian of the family, and he's that kid that doesn't know he's funny, so then it's even funnier. And so I tell Micah and Titus to run down to my mom's house, go get the dog, because he had been down there all day. So Micah went, apparently, and got the dog from the backyard. Well, Titus did not know, because if you know Titus, he's a wanderer. We call him the wanderer. And he's like, he's in his own head. Like, I don't know where he goes and what happens, but like, if I send him on a mission, it turns into something else. And I don't know where Titus went, and nothing got done. So we send him down there. Micah stays on tasks. He's like that one that's organized. He's got it. He comes home with Max, my dog. And I'm like, where's Titus? I don't know. I'm like, gosh. Okay. So I'm cooking dinner and the next day Titus finally ends up coming back home and I say, Titus, and I knew Max was home and I said, Titus, where's Max? You know, I don't know. I went down there and I did not see Max. And I'm like, okay, well, by the way, Micah got him a long time ago and where have you been? So I never got the middle story. My dad calls me and he says, I'm glad that your son is very comfortable being in my house. And I said, what does that mean? He goes, he must feel really good here. And I go, okay. He goes, I was in my chair studying for Wednesday night. It was a Wednesday. And he's like, I was in my chair studying for church. And I hear my front door creak open. And I'm like, what is that? And I'm staring at the door. Titus walks in to my house. He walks to the back door, the sliding door, looks out the sliding door, shuts the sliding door, goes to my refrigerator, opens my refrigerator, starts looking in there, and he's singing to himself the whole time. He's just singing. And he goes, then he shuts the refrigerator, must have not found what he wanted, and starts walking back out the front door. And my dad's like, he was ready to shut the door. And I'm like, hey. And he goes, I scared him. He was like, ugh. And he goes, oh, hi, Baba. And just walks over to me, gives me a kiss, walks back out the front door, back up to your house. And you know, that is a beautiful environment for my kids to be able to go to. And I want my home to feel that way for my kids, for any kid that comes to my house, for my grandkids one day when I have them. I want that to be the atmosphere that they can walk into where they feel safe enough to look in a refrigerator and not feel like the Nazi police is coming after them and you are not allowed to, the food Nazi's not allowed to eat, you know, that they can go and they can look for things. And so you have to open your home up to those around you and those that come in your home, make it a safe place. Make it an effort to preserve unity. Okay? The Spirit has already created with peace binding you together is the end of that verse. A couple quick things, okay? Don't be selfish with our time. It's so easy to do, girls. You know, especially me. I get off work and I'm like, all I want to do is sit on the couch and stare because I am pooped. I got a lot of things coming at me. I've heard every story in the book today. I've managed every little detail of all the departments I run and everything else that goes on in my world, and I'm fried. And then my daughter wants to talk to me about all the drama happening at her school with a girl so-and-so, and I'm just like, really? Like, if I have to hear these stories one more time. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He's like, but it's big to her. So you need to listen, and this is teaching time. So you've got to switch your hat. So take off your work hat and put on your mom hat. And so I sit down. I'm like, okay, Chloe, tell me about your day. And I'm not kidding. It's really annoying. Okay, that stays between us. But I listen, and I'm like, and how did you react? What did the girl say? Okay, well, this is what you should do because the Word of God says. And I take that time to use it as a learning lesson for Chloe. Now, that was not something I wanted to do, right? No. My kids asked me to go, and they, you know, swimming is now because it's hot outside. Hey, Mom, will you go swimming? I don't want to get in a bathing suit. I don't want to splash around in a pool and get my hair wet. But you know what? I get in the pool, and I splash around with my kids because you know what? I want them to know their mom loves them, and I set aside myself to be with them. And sometimes you're going to have to do that as a grandma. Sometimes you're going to have to do that as auntie. Sometimes you're going to have to do that. And it's a sacrifice of yourself for the betterment of somebody else. And that creates a thick atmosphere of love in your home. So listen, sometimes you're going to have to be the voice of reason. Because your family is not going to understand and they're not going to make sense. My children will fight back and forth. Or maybe like family members are fighting back and forth. And you're that like peacemaker. You be the voice of reason. Because you know why? Because you're equipped to do it. Because you have the Word of God inside of you. Because you've prayed through your day. Because you've picked up your Bible this week. Because you know that you've been in church and that you heard a word from God. And when something happens in your family, you can be the voice of reason. They can come to your house and they can sit on your couch and you can say, but God's Word says, I know you're feeling this way, but do not lack or forsake the assembling of brethren. Have you been in church lately? Where are you at with your walk with the Lord? Do you pray? Do you read? Challenge them. Be the voice of reason in their life. Because most people will not tell people the truth any longer. Because it's not politically correct. Or because it's not cool. Or because it's not what the world says. And you're considered a judgmental person. If they're coming in your home, guess what? That is territory for you to be honest. Because they have now walked into your space. And that's where the Holy Spirit lives. And they're going to hear the Word of God. And you be the voice of reason in their world. So do not back down in that area, especially when they're in your home. Be involved with what they're telling you. We talked about that. Number two, bring Jesus into the life of your home. You say, oh gosh, I live in a very unsaved home. I'm the only person saved in my house. If that's you, guess what? Then you're Jesus in your house. And you might have a harder job then, but you eventually will have another one saved and another one saved, and you will eventually get there. You have to begin to start some routines in your heart, in your life. Just as Pastor Sue was saying, you get yourself organized by habit, right? I heard it said, Pastor Sue, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it takes 28 days for a habit to be formed. So get yourself in a habit of reading your word, whether that be before bed because you actually comprehend things better before bed. Pastor Dan does that. He's totally wide awake, ready to have major deep conversations, and I'm like, do not talk to me. The day is over. I do not even know what is being said right now because I am a morning person. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, let's go. And he's just like, seriously, right now. This worked really well when the kids were little. I'm really wondering how it's going to work when we're older because I'm like, ah. So he reads at the nighttime and he is disciplined. I mean, he journals, he like does all his thing. In the morning, I do that. I get up, I have my routines, I'm with the Lord, I pray, I read my Bible. As my kids are now home from summer school, my space is being invaded and I'm a little irritated about it because I'm like, this is my time with Jesus. But this is what I've gotten them on a new routine. This is a little book and it's called Jesus Calling. It's 365 devotionals for kids. If your children can read, it goes by every single day of the week, every single day of the whole year. So my children are not allowed to turn the TV on. They are not allowed to get on their game phones. They are not allowed to do anything until they read the Bible and they pray. Now, whether that be together or on their own, that is the rule. And it's funny because I've heard them be accountable to each other. Ooh, don't be turning the TV on. I know you didn't read your Bible yet. Because that is just how it works in our house. And so today, this morning, my boys were up and I was up studying for this message. And I was going over the message and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to do my devotional with them, but it'll be my message so that like I can kind of study. I have to multitask, you know, so I can kind of study and then they can also get something from it. And I got to one of the verses and we'll talk about it. It's train your child up in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I got to that verse and I said, kids, mommy's curious. What are you going to teach your children that mommy and daddy taught you? Like one day when you get older and you're telling your kids about us, what is it that you will tell your kids that we taught you? And Micah, you know, the ordered one, the one who knows it all, you know, oh, love and patience and da-da-da and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, wait. Titus keeps trying to slip in here. Let him speak. And Titus goes, well, you know, Mom, I think that you have trained us to go potty. And I'm like, yes, Titus, we did do that. I told you, he's funny, and he doesn't even know he is. We had a good old laugh about that. There's a man in the Bible, and his name is Joshua. And Joshua was an incredible, wonderful man of God. And Joshua was with, you know, the people he was leading, and they were all serving false gods, and they were doing things that were not according to God's word. And he's giving his last letter to them. He's giving his last speech to them. And he says this, and I love this, in Joshua 24:15, it says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Okay? Now listen, I'm going to stop there. I lived in a household where my dad did not play games. It was either you serve God or you can move out. And let me tell you, it got to a point where he was like, you're moving out. And he kicked my butt out at the age of 18. You're like, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. And because I was not serving God, some of you are allowing things in your homes and you wonder why there's chaos. There are things attached to alcohol, to drugs, to sexual addictions. And you allow those things in your home with your grown children. And you are doing a disservice to them and to yourself. And you are heaping a curse on your home. Because those things are strong addictions. Those things, if they're not being dealt with in the spirit, they will not be. And you're allowing them in. When you have to draw a line and say, for this house, we will serve God. In verse 16, he says, and then it says, and you will serve whether there are gods of the fathers that serve that were on their other side of the river and the gods of the Amorites in the land that they dwell. But as for me and my house, Joshua is using himself as an example in his own home. He cannot speak for those. I cannot speak for your homes. But I'll tell you something, as a living example, and your pastor here at this church, I will come and I will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I will be a living example. And I have told my children, we are examples of Jesus. We are examples so that people can see the goodness and how God intended for things to be. And that is what Joshua did in this verse. He says, so the people answered and he said, but Joshua says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And so the people answered, this is the response to him. Listen, for be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. They got it. Because Joshua chose, I'm going to set before them, I'm going to take care of my house, I'm going to take care of my kids, I'm going to make sure that we serve God. We will love the Lord. We will do things according to God's way. Listen, maybe your homes need a little bit of polishing up. You need to go home and you need to say, these are the ground rules. My dad never let us play games. He never let us not go to church. We were adults living in his house, and guess a couple things that he made us do. Number one, I had to pay for my own insurance for my car. He got me a car, but I had to go get a job. Hello, a job, J-O-B. You know, so if you have some like adult children in your homes, they should go get a job and contribute to the family. Number two, he made me go and either like look for other like education if that was something I wanted to do, or I had to get a good job. Okay. Number three, I had to go to church in our house. I was an adult. I was able to make my own decisions, but he was like, as long as you live here, you will be in church on Sundays and you will be in church on Wednesdays. You will be in two services a week. You know, there was a period in my life, Mom, close your ears, where I would club and then I go to church on Sunday. And let me tell you something. I was miserable in the club and I was miserable in church. I didn't stay there very long because I could not live both lives. And my parents did not allow me to get away with those things. And I had to answer for myself. And I had to seriously look at my heart and go, what am I doing? Because when you train up a child in the way they should go, that they will not depart when they are old. That means that the word of God has been put as a seed into their heart. And so when they're in the wrong path, when they're down a wrong lane, that the word of God that they learned in your home when you were opening your Bible in the morning. I know this is stupid. I was walking in this morning and I had my notes and they were on a piece of paper. The Holy Spirit said to me, open your Bible real quick because the boys were coming towards me. He said, open your Bible. They need to see your open Bible on your lap. See, because they wouldn't have known that my notes were the Word of God. But I opened my Bible because the Holy Spirit said they need to see you reading your Bible. It's the stupid little things that we think, oh, it's not a big deal. But it gets into their heart. And when they're out there alone, lost in the world, guess what happens? The Word of God begins to come up out of them. And they have to change. Because they will not wander in the desert forever. Because they had a mama who loved them, who prayed for them, who taught them, and who trained them up. Girls, it's important what we put in. It will come out eventually. And so, in those times, Joshua said, come on. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My dad kicked me out. And he said, I love you, but I'm doing you a disservice by you living here because you're not being responsible. And he made me move out. My poor sister, he made us move out together. So he did prepare a place for us to be safe. And Kim was like, wait, I like my roommate. Dad's like, too bad. You're moving out with your sister. And so we moved out and we paid bills. I had to pay bills. I had to, you know, take care of all of my stuff, all my ducks in a row. I had to be responsible. And you know what is the best thing that ever, ever happened to me? Because when I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, I was in the middle of God only knows where, Oklahoma. I knew no one, and I knew how to get a job. I knew how to call all the places around me to get all my utilities on. I knew how to pay my bills on time. I never lacked, and I believe because my parents trained me, and they had to do things that weren't easy for them. You think that was easy for my dad to kick me out? He was miserable because he loved me. But you know what? If you have adult children in this house, I'm talking to you, and I'm in your face about it because I serve some of your kids and I listen to their stories and I'm like, if these parents would only just make them adults. Listen, you're doing them a disservice. They need to be men and they need to be trained up as men. They need to be women that are empowered to do something, not just feed off mom and dad the rest of their lives. Listen to me. You are an amazing mom. You have an amazing household with love and grace and mercy. So if they're in your home like we were as adults, because Kim and I lived in the home, Kim was there at the age of 21. There are rules in your home and they're godly rules and they're rules that bring responsibility to them, help them, and they're responsible. And before God, you will be honored just as Joshua did with his house. And then they were able to follow Joshua. You're going to do a blessing to your children and your children's children down the road. Watch and prove God on that. He will prove himself in that. Because all of us, mom, am I right? All of us are serving God right now. Every single last one of us. It was tough love at times, but they did not compromise the Word of God in our house. I was not allowed to listen to secular music in our house. I snuck it, but I was not allowed. As soon as they found it, those CDs got broken. I mean, they would not allow me. They would not. I know we don't have CDs now, but you got to be creative, mamas. You got to figure out how to do it because God will give you grace to parent in this day and age. And so your home is a place where the Holy Spirit lives and you are the one that sets the atmosphere for that. Couple things that we do in our home. We pray as a family. If you're not praying as a family, begin to make new ways of praying as a family. So I'm very busy. I don't have time to sit down for hours and pray. No, Pastor Jess is not that person. Did you know that? No, I just pray all day long. And so what I do is when we drive the kids to school, we're all praying. Every child in my car prays a prayer and prays for their day, prays for the people in their class, prays for the mind of Christ. We do it while we're on our way to school. When we come home before bed, every single one of us prays. Now that has been enduring at times because some of my children like to pray for every single ant on the ground. And you know, you're just like, oh my gosh, that does pass and it does get more mature as they get older. And then we, Dan and I, in our marriage, we never go to bed without praying together. Even though I'm completely zonked out, he will wake my butt up and he's like, you better pray. Come on, we're praying. And we always kiss each other goodnight. Those are just some little things that we do. So we have a devotional in the morning. We pray throughout our day. We sit down as a family around a meal. Now, you may say, our family is everywhere. I don't know how to do this. Listen, find a spot. And it may not be every single day that you can do this. But find some time that your guys were having family time. And we're going to be together. My mom used to do it in the mornings before we would all leave because we were all teenagers and we all just went our own way. And so we would have breakfast together. I still love breakfast to this day because of that. So find a spot and find a space for yourselves. Turn the TV off when you are having those times together because it's just a distraction. I have a rule, no electronics at the table. The only one who breaks that is Dan. And so I'm constantly like, give me your phone because No electronics at the table. You're not going to be distracted. You're going to listen to the little conversations that you would not normally hear otherwise. And so that's what you do. You have to set aside time. You have to be strategic in it. Okay? It's something you're going to have to plan out. Have a meal together. Go on a hike. Get outside of the four walls that you all live in and you do your normals in. Because when you get outside and you actually get some fresh air and you guys go do something together, whether it be go to the beach or something, do you notice, does your family kind of get more connected? You kind of play with each other a little bit more. I notice my kids hold our hands more. Like, we just have that connection, that bond. Go on a hike. Go to the beach. Get outside the four walls of your house. Get some fresh air. Do it as a family. Talk through life with your kids. This was something that I really wanted to touch base with. We live in a very dark world. And you might be an auntie, and let's say that you have someone come in your home, and their family's not saved, but you are. Talk to them about what's going on in their life. Ask them strategic questions. Hey, like, what's happening at your school? You know, like, what kind of things are you seeing? What kind of, and then when they start talking about the different topics and the things that are happening, pull the word of God out and say, do you know what God's word says about that? And do you know that you can overcome this and that you've got this? And be their encourager, be their cheerleader. They need someone to cheer them on because the world is beating them up everywhere they go. And they're going to feel bad about themselves, just like you feel bad about yourself when you open a magazine or when you see the girl who has the greatest life and yours isn't like hers. Do not compare. They will do the same thing and they need a cheerleader in their world. So talk to them about the issues. And then this is my favorite and last one. Play praise and worship music in your house. Because when you have downtime and just turn the TV off and maybe you say, go read a book or something, you know, sometimes we'll all as a family, we'll be reading. So my kids love reading. So they'll get their books and I'll put on my phone praise and worship music. And it'll just be on while I'm cooking dinner. It'll be on like while they're reading their books, or we'll play Monopoly together, or we'll do something like that. And we put on Christian music. It changes the atmosphere of your home. It allows the presence of God to just settle a heart and to bring joy back into that space. And so those are just simple, quick and easy tips of keeping an atmosphere in your home. But listen to me, it will never happen until you strategically plan it. You have to be the one there to say, okay, we're going to have dinner tonight. Okay, you know what? You're an adult, and I'm going to help you make a plan to better your life for the future. My dad did that. He sat down with me, made a plan. My mom walked me through how to decorate a house now that you have your own place. Listen, guys, you are still there to be the one who trains them up and leads them, but do it beautifully so Jesus is in your home, and the atmosphere is an atmosphere of thick love. I believe that's what God wants for us. So did you get something from God today? Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.